It is 3:01 on March the 20th, 2020. This is a special meeting of the Gunnison City Council being held at City Hall at 201 West Virginia Avenue on the second floor in the council chambers. For record purposes, we are testing out possible implementation of remote participation in council today. Therefore, we'll move forward on our agenda. And the first item is Resolution Number 5, Series 2020.
I'll introduce, what was it? Resolution Number 5, Series 2020, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Gunnison, Colorado, establishing a policy for electronic participation during city council meetings. And I'll move adoption of Resolution Number 5, Series 2020, a resolution of the City of Gunnison, Colorado, establishing a policy for electronic participation during city council meetings.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Do you want to do a quick review?
Do we have Kathy Fogo on the phone?
Kathy, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Could you give a quick summary of Resolution Number 5 that you prepared for council and its effect?
Sure. This resolution tracks with the declaration, the emergency declaration that was made by you guys at the beginning of the week, or at least made by the city manager at your direction at the beginning of the week. And it keeps the emergency state local disaster declaration in effect until such time as you otherwise amend it or revoke it.
Okay. So these will be special order circumstances for the duration.
Nice.
You've got this one already covered. Okay. Yeah, we're testing out stuff here. Any additional comments? And anyone that is joining us by phone, mumble and we'll try to get to you.
So there should be a feature for those listening. I believe you can raise your hand. I can see.
No comment.
When we do this and there will be council members on the phone, it is my intent to go around and ask for each council member to respond, whether they have any comments or not, so that they are not left out. That is a way of implementing this resolution if it's passed. Hearing no.
Oh, no, sorry.
Got a comment?
We do, Diego.
Okay. Hi, Diego.
Did you unmute him?
He is unmuted. Hi, Diego.
Hey, everybody. Can you guys hear me?
We can.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure that you could. I'm here. I'm listening and support the resolution. Very obviously, because I'm calling in right now. I couldn't get child care, so thank you.
That is quite all right, and we appreciate you calling in, given circumstances. Unfortunately, since this resolution is not passed nor signed, your vote will not be counted, but your comment will be noted in the minutes.
Understood. Thanks, Jim.
And sorry, Diego, I wasn't able to get in touch with Kathy to get back in touch with you in time.
No worries at all, Erica. Appreciate it, and I'll just listen in. Thanks all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Erica.
Freeburn?
Yes.
Miles?
Yes.
Gilwix?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
So carried.
So carried. Next is...
Mr. Mayor, if I might, this is Kathy. I think now that we've passed that resolution, Diego is legally participating.
Don't I have to sign it for it to be in effect?
Well, actually, I'm sorry, the next one, for the, I thought we were doing electronic participation first, actually.
That's what we did.
Yes, we did that.
I gave you the rundown, and you guys just let me talk.
Okay. My question is, my understanding until it has a signature on it, that resolution is still, is it in effect now, or is that your opinion?
Yes.
Okay, so therefore, from now on, Diego can now be a participant, as understood by the attorney, and we will include him in conversations and comments. Next item is resolution number 6.
I'll introduce resolution number 6, series 2020, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Gunnison, Colorado, extending the local disaster emergency declaration. And I move to adopt resolution number 6, series 2020.
Looks like Diego.
Okay. Diego? Comment?
No comments here.
Okay.
Diego, I'm going to lower your hand then. And then if you do have another.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
Okay. That's part of the reason why during a more extended meeting that the procedure will be we'll ask all council members on a round robin that are not present. Okay, any other comments or questions?
Yes, so this has to be updated every week, is that right?
No, this is for the duration.
Okay, yes. Okay, good. So we did last week or Monday.
I only had 7 days, and this
yes.
is
now it's good
to keep this
perfect.
Going.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah. There may be additional resolutions requiring something else down the line, mm-hmm. but as far as us remaining in a state of emergency, we are now in that in effect as long and until the Public Health Incident Command changes their mind.
Perfect.
Any other comments?
No comment.
Erica.
Miles.
Yes.
Gilwix.
Yes.
Logan.
Yes.
Plata.
Yes.
Freeburn.
Yes.
So carried.
All right. Next item is discussion of city sales tax deferral. I believe I heard Ben on the line.
Yeah, just want to ask Mr. Mayor Ben to share some research he's done on this, and he also has a few thoughts to share with you. Ben, you want to take it away?
Sure. So let me hide this. So I have taken a poll from a variety of governments around the state. And hopefully you can see my screen. Is that legible from where you all are?
Yes.
Barely.
Yep.
It's still small print, even if you were in the room.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So we have had a few governments, most notably Crested Butte and Vail, and to some extent Steamboat Springs, that have deferred the collection of sales tax. You can see that the majority of comments that I got back from different municipalities are either they're not making any changes or they're deferring, they're not deferring, but they are going to be lenient on penalties and interest. And just so that we're all on the same page as far as the charter's provisions or the city code's provisions on this, in section 3.10.050 of the sales tax code, the director may extend the time of making returns and paying the taxes due under such reasonable rules and regulations as he may prescribe, but no such extension shall be for a greater period than is provided for the section 090, which I've also included here, that says the director of finance, upon written request of the vendor, may accept reports at such intervals as will, in his opinion, better suit the convenience of the taxpayer and will not jeopardize the collection of the tax. So I think we certainly have the discretion to defer taxes. My opinion, as my recommendation to the council, is that let me close this, pull up my deferral sheet again here. It's kind of hard, I've got so many screens going. What I would like to recommend to the council is that we get on a no deferral basis, but give me the latitude to be lenient on penalties and interest. And the reason for that is I think some businesses, especially some of our large corporate businesses, don't need that deferral. And so when we put a blanket deferral like Crested Butte, where we just say you can be deferred for a few months, I think it could cause the city to have some cash flow issues where we're trying to purchase power for folks' electricity, we're trying to pay our employees. And, you know, like, say, a city market, I don't think needs a deferral, and I wouldn't like to have them take advantage of that if the business doesn't need it. So a couple of options would be that maybe just let me work with the business and see what the circumstance is, or similar to Castle Pine, they've deferred for just restaurants. And perhaps we would want to do that for restaurants or our miscellaneous retail or our hotel establishments if we wanted to go down a path of allowing a deferral. And so that might be an option. But really, I think if we've got a pretty good connection with most of our businesses and they could reach out to us and we could kind of see what a payment plan would look like and work with those businesses directly.
And you have that authority currently under our ordinances, correct?
Correct. And I have exercised that in the past when there's been, you know, something like a fatality, you know, or something like that that really affected that business. But, you know, I didn't have a specific concern of eventually collecting that. One other thing I might add, too, is that, you know, there is an element that, you know, taxes are collected from the customer in trust to deliver to the city to operate the city services. Those funds really aren't from the business. It's not necessarily a business expense. And if you're not making sales, then there really aren't sales taxes to be remitted. Now, in saying that, I do recognize that a lot of businesses use those sales taxes that they collect to operate their business in interim period.
Just maybe also for a little bit of context, one of your agenda items for next Tuesday will be, you know, looking at our capital projects, what do we want to keep in the piggy bank. You're also, some things are formulating in terms of requests from the Community Foundation in a group that Anton is participating with, is developing to kind of figure out what are the best ways to support our business community. So again, I think some more strategic thinking is coming, but we also appreciate that our business community is certainly in need right now.
And along those lines, this morning I pushed out an email regarding the SBA loans that are available for the state of Colorado businesses. I pushed that out this morning to all of our licensed vendors.
First comments from council members in the room, questions?
Can we communicate directly with our miscellaneous retail, restaurant owners, and hotel owners? And I think communication is going to be key in this. If they see that we're not jumping on board with deferrals, you know, I think we need to speak directly with them in some vein to let them know that if there is not a deferral, then what the plan for leniency and penalties and interest will be.
Diego?
Yeah, but I'm curious to find out or learn from you. You mentioned City Market might not necessarily need this. Others might. We have a good pulse on the ones that likely will and others that won't, based on their percentage contribution to this monthly income. In other words, City Market may not necessarily need it, but we know that it's going to come. Because my thought here is simply, it wouldn't make a great deal of sense to put a timeline around it, and I agree with you, but I think it would also, looking out for our revenues, hurt if someone like City Market were to delay it for the simplicity that they could. just, and I don't know how to phrase that better. Does that make sense? Is that the right question?
So, is the question about? I heard a couple of things that I might have heard in that question. One is the pulse on who might need that. Is that the first part of your question?
Yeah, I guess let me rephrase that. I apologize. I guess the first question would be, do we have a good pulse on who might need that? The second question would be, for those that don't necessarily, or we don't perceive as needing it, do we have a good pulse on if, in fact, they will be on time with their payments? Because my fear or my hesitation would be to open this to a no deferral and be lenient on penalties and interest and have the bigger players like City Market, not to pick on them, but just using them as an example, also move into the scenario where they're not paying on time, right? So I feel like a time frame may be helpful, but I certainly wouldn't want to pinch anyone either.
Well, and that's kind of why my recommendation would be either for those narrow industry codes where maybe we restrict that to storefront restaurants, potentially lodging establishments. Those are the two that I think are the ones that I can see significantly being hit. Our miscellaneous retail probably is the next category that they're going to be struggling to make those payments. But we also have a lot of remote sellers that, whether it's your Amazon.coms or some of those, that I don't know that I recommend extending that kind of a deferral to those kind of businesses. So if we are going to allow a set deferral for a number of days for any of the NICS codes, the industry codes, I would recommend that it would be storefront restaurants, lodging establishments, and miscellaneous retail, but those that have a physical presence in the city of Gunnison.
I agree with that.
Yeah. If we did not specify, would it be fair to say that at this point in time, anyone could request from the finance director a deferral and that would be decided on an individual basis?
That's another option, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that technically right now would not require, well, you would like us to be in agreement with you doing that. Obviously, but it would not require specific action by us.
Correct.
I think that's a fair way to do it. Easier to.
Can I do a follow-up question to Ben? Just Ben, to be clear, would you prefer to have the discretion, or would you like counsel to put a few parameters on your discretion as it would apply to specific business sectors?
I guess I would like to have some discretion just because I could see some business out there that wouldn't be in those categories that we've discussed. And I probably would exercise that anyway just because I'm already empowered with that in the code. But if there's something that the council would like me to be doing or not be doing, I always welcome that and want to honor that.
So all of these, Greenwood Village, Breckenridge, all of them that say no deferral but lenient on penalties and interest, did you get more information about how they're deciding?
Yeah, I'd say the vast majority are just kind of doing it case by case. And in fact, I think that would be all of them are doing it case by case. Some are very taking a hard stance and just saying, this isn't your money, this is your customer's money. And it's not a business expense for you, like, property taxes or some other things that suddenly hit you. If you're not collecting it, you don't have to remit it.
Okay. And what sort of workload does this create? Have you thought about...
So far, we've only seen a couple of people concerned about it at this point in time because they should already have... Right now, the returns are due, and, you know, they've already collected those funds and should be preparing to remit those through to the city. I've heard from a couple of folks' concerns, but, you know, I think this is also new, and I think as businesses start to reel from the issues that are being caused financially in their situation, I think we're going to see a lot more of that. But I think if someone is going to contact me, I would defer it for at least 30 days, and without much question, unless it's some large corporation, that I'm pretty clear that they've got plenty of funding to make that payment.
Do you typically send a late notice to businesses that have not remitted by the deadline?
Yes. So we run a report for delinquencies. It's not always a letter. A lot of times our account clerk, Doreen Elam, will contact them and say, hey, you know, we didn't get your sales tax. So it usually starts with a simple phone call. If it rises to my level, I have delinquent letters that I send out, and I would probably be pretty lax about that at this point.
Can we craft a message that for those, you know, when it does happen, since things are due in February, like for me personally with my business, my bookkeeper was in contact with somebody who was in contact and she was ordered to isolate. So I don't know how to remit my sales tax because that's not something that I do. So, you know, like that would be my case. So but I think that if the deadline passes, if we could send the same message to every business, like, look, we realize what's happening and there's many different circumstances that you may be late, and here's the city's take on it. Like, we're giving X extensions and waiving penalties and interest.
Well, and if you say that, he will be inundated with 840 calls. Mm-hmm. So maybe I would suggest something, if you wanted a message that, you know, we're very aware of the situation that exists. We understand these are challenging times. If there are specific challenges to you remitting sales tax, please call blank.
Okay.
Versus an invitation to do that.
Right.
That's an explicit invitation.
Yeah, if it's in print, the issue is I read it and you at the other end, we don't know. The way it currently works is that you'd be personally contacted if you didn't pay, and so I personal contact, as long as we're not overburdened in the finance office, is probably the best and most useful.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it could be, hey, I need to XYZ, I got X payment, this is the only money I got, or given other circumstances with the key employees that do this stuff, I don't have accurate information for you. All of those things are unique and probably are easily discoverable by contacting them in the method that we've heard. If it gets to the point where we have an explosion of that, then there may be other issues that we have to deal with as well.
And I've said this a lot in the last week and a half, that today's thought and idea probably will be different next week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this will evolve, this whole issue will evolve in terms of how do we work with our business community through these tough times. So my guess is we're going to get more sophisticated and better sense of what is meaningful support and help as this goes on. So this is just a starting point, and my guess this will be an ongoing discussion.
Certainly anybody that you encounter, I would encourage them to contact finance directly.
Mm-hmm.
And say, hey, this is my situation, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's good to know that we have that capability in the finance office, regardless of whether there's an emergency situation on or not. There are other circumstances that can happen at any time.
Diego?
Just
We're doing the same thing with our utility customers at this time, too. I might just relay that, you know, we haven't said that your utilities aren't due. Sometimes I have the position where deferring these things actually just digs a bigger hole that's hard to get out of. But we're certainly not going to be sending out 24-hour shut-off notices or disconnecting someone in this environment. But ultimately, the person will be responsible for it at some point. And so if they have the ability to pay it now, not only does that help the city pay its bills and get our services delivered, but it also prevents them from creating a problem that may be a real challenge for them to get out of.
Diego, do you have any additional comments?
No, none for me. Thanks.
Are we comfortable with where we're at with the finance department?
Was that clear direction for you, Ben?
I think it's a question.
I think it's clear on that we can be lenient on penalties and interest and that we're not doing a blanket deferral. The one additional element was the communication. Do we want to do something for certain sectors or just kind of leave it as the contact us if needed?
Yeah.
I liked Russ's phrasing, personally.
Yeah, it was more just a general and truly empathetic kind of message of, we understand these are tough times. If you have unforeseen, please contact the finance, and you know, we'll do our best to work with you. Something to that effect.
We can certainly do that. Is that something that you would like to do for storefront businesses and mobile businesses that have a physical presence here, or all vendors for a certain sector?
I think we're more concerned about Main Street and physical presence, and especially locally owned and managed businesses versus corporate, where, you know, where you get it from an accountant in some other city or state.
Yeah, or telecommunications companies and some of those. Would it be okay to send that just to our local businesses then and craft a message that says, you know, exactly what Russ just said?
Ben, I think I'm seeing head nods to that, but focused again on kind of the local retail, hotels, locally owned businesses.
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that.
My two cents here would be that while Main Street is in fact the most important, I agree. There's going to be a lot of businesses on South Main that are going to hurt that. I'm not opposed to focusing on the locals, but I don't know if it needs to be a specific sector or location. You know, I think there's going to be accountants that are going to hurt from this, and the creative design shops that might as well. So I think it may be worthwhile including all local businesses rather than just a specific sector or corridor of the town.
Yeah, I don't think, Diego, we're talking geographically, just locally owned businesses. It seems...
Yeah, I was using Main Street as a generic term as
opposed to
a location.
Sure. Yeah. Understood. Thank you. All the other, like Ben said, Ben alluded to some of the businesses that won't fall under retail, hospitality, restaurant. There's going to be some different buckets too, and I think they need to hear this as well.
Okay, I can get that out ASAP.
Let's move on.
Sorry, one last comment. Apologies, Ben and. Certainly at your discretion, but because of the efforts that the ICE Lab is putting into place to work with some of the local folks, if it makes sense to, and that could be an avenue for such a message, it may make sense. But again, at your discretion, and that's it for me.
Certainly, and I plan, if we get done with this meeting by 4, I'm planning on hopping on that call next.
Okay. All right. Final item 4 is discussion and update on the virus and how it also might impact our 2020 census.
Yeah, let me kind of couple different, maybe just give a quick update. Again, you know, I think we've gotten into a new tempo, a new pace, and a new sense of partnership within the Valley as a whole, with everybody jumping in to support the Emergency Operations Center. And it goes from finance to police department helping with emergency operations, fire. So we're completely integrated with that. And again, really appreciate the leadership, CJ Malcolm, a new friend of mine, and now and Joni, who's been a friend for a while, have provided. And we're getting calls now from around the state, around the country, about how we're kind of on the tip of the spear in managing this, and have had you know, some very interesting discussions with colleagues, just to emphasize that partnership, that ability to work across jurisdictions is so vital and important now. In terms of city operations, we've also gone to what's called an ICS system, and it's just a way to manage the tempo and the need for higher communication to deal with both kind of our day-to-day jobs and projects, and also deal with the issues brought forward through the coronavirus. And again, really pleased with our team and how they're responding across the board. And you know, the other priority is doing our very best to protect our employees while we also provide services. So we've created a set of protocols. Ben's team has done a good Q&A to help provide guidance to employees, keep them safe, but also provide as high a level of service as we can. Mayor and I have chatted a lot about the census, and again, a lot coming out right now that we don't have a choice. We can't move the date. It's a constitutional requirement that it has to happen now. Andy Ruggiero is kind of the last person, I think, that's been out, that's coming back, and Anton and her and I will be putting our heads together in terms of, you know, how do we really kind of take this on in this tough time and do some creative things. And Anton, did we get that little mini grant? I think we did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And so how do we do something creative, working with Western to communicate and encourage students to acknowledge their residency, assuming, you know, that is in fact accurate, but it is true for most, acknowledge their residency here in Gunnison, getting to our immigrant community, getting to our community as a whole in this time we're saying people's distance themselves from others. How do we, you know, do that? Now, I think the good news in thinking about that is that our ability to communicate, you know, as we're coming out of this and right now, has just gone up exponentially. So using those same channels will be helpful. But I think particularly with the immigrant community and our students, we're going to have to get creative in terms of reaching out to them.
Seasonal workers.
Yes.
Who live here, even though they worked at the ski area. Those things are there. The issue is now certain elements now of our community are getting mixed messages. You're still a student here, you got to do it remotely, but you're not supposed to come to city town. You know, if you have you're getting where your residency starts becoming very confused. And my best understanding is they still should consider counting themselves here and not elsewhere. Since we are, fortunately or unfortunately, one of the three counties in this state which seems to be ahead of everybody else, along with Pitkin and Eagle County, and especially in terms of reported cases. That also means that other areas, routine reaching out right now on the census is far more effective than what we have.
Right.
And it could easily come back that we have a third of our housing units empty. And if we have that kind of statistic, it doesn't matter. We'll just be considered a poverty zone, but we'll get no new housing. We won't be able to supply our businesses. Mm-hmm. We won't be able to get certain types of grants and other aid, which are especially population-driven. Mm-hmm. We fought that battle to a lesser extent when we probably were undercounted by 500 to 1,000 in the 90s, which was real tough. It impacted this community for a long time. So it is a concern. We don't want, certainly we're interested in safety, certainly want to preserve everyone's life at this time, but at the same time, we don't want to multiply our this date into a decade.
You know, my thought specifically is to reach out to Gary with a well-crafted message, and he now can push a message out, and the university can, to all students. They have to be very careful now about over-communicating, and I think we're all experiencing that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that'll be a key strategy, is working with Gary and his team to get a well-crafted message out to the students, and probably remind them of that one or two times, while being respectful of over-communication. But I think it's going to be a variety of different creative ideas. We still have 250 students, it sounds like, right now in housing.
214.
So there's still a number of here. We have employees that are also students coming back next week. We'll see how many actually show up. But again, we're going to have to get creative. So we're beginning to create a couple of specific kind of task force, everything we kind of were using, a task force. You know, Anton's going to be participating in an economic group that'll be multifaceted. We're talking about kind of a community health and wellness group, and asking if the foundation would support that and team with our Parks and Rec. And I think this would be a third area of focus, in terms of getting people to participate in the census. So,
is DHS still on that too, or? We had the Matt Gray that came and spoke.
Maybe here. He may have, I don't know if he's getting pulled in, but he's still physically here. This is his job. But again, that was based out of Health and Human Services. They're going to need help, you know, with this. So I think creating a team kind of focused on this specifically could be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Diego, thoughts?
Diego's muted. There he goes.
Diego, you still with us?
Hey, yeah, still here. Sorry, just figuring out which mute button to mute.
Yeah, so, sorry, star six just... on this system. We're learning this, but star six is the magic combo. You'll need to unmute yourself.
Great, thank you. I will... I'll resonate Russ's point on the channels of communication that seem to be opening up quickly through this. I think that will be a helpful tool and resource, in particular with the Spanish-speaking community. And other than that, that's all I've got.
I wonder if the county would put it on their COVID update page.
Well, that's, I don't know. In terms of Anton and myself, we were on the call yesterday dealing with the economic task force that came out. There will be weekly meetings, and there will be a way that the latest information to assist businesses will be put on there. My guess is that we'll discuss the issue about how best to, if it's reasonable to integrate the two messages together. If not, we'll have to pursue it as a separate message. But I'm not an expert in that, and it really needs to be a call that's made by the incidents command system. But it's certainly a good idea, and it will be run up the flagpole, and we'll see what we can do there.
Yeah, and I guess one other comment or thought that I have here is, like everything else we're discussing, we're not going to be the only ones dealing with this problem, and there's likely value in looking to some other best practices around the state, the region, the country on how the census is going to be carried out, more over how we're communicating or how they're communicating with their constituents and populations as we all navigate through this. So, looking to, I can't recall the name of the census leads that came and spoke to us. I don't have my notes in front of me, but looking to them and requesting their input on what they're hearing, I think would also be valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have those contacts. Who's the regional census, U.S. Census rep. So we'll follow up on that, and thank you for suggesting it. Any other general concerns?
I'm glad Ben sort of addressed or did address utility payments, and I'd like to keep that in mind as we're looking at what, like Russ said, the best ways or the most important ways that we can be assisting our business owners, that we also consider creative ways to assist our residents, our paycheck to paycheck. And the fact remains that the city of Gunnison, we've got the majority of the poverty level residents in the valley live in the city of Gunnison. So just keeping that in mind and how we can help those people.
That was a specific request I made to Pam Montgomery in reaching out to her today to see if she would consider kind of leading a health and human services or community outreach program, is to also bring information back to us. Because again, it's not going to just be businesses, it's going to be our residents, like you said, Mallory. But where can we best apply resources in the future to have the greatest impact?
I think that makes the fact that we've got a lot of compassion for our businesses and our community, and there's not a lot we can do, but we're trying to do something to support the needs and the vitality of...
A lot of interesting ideas are coming out, the idea of a civilian conservation corps. Mm-hmm. Again, a variety of ideas like that of, getting people busy, a little engaged, but, we're going to have a lot of seasonal part-time people, hourly people that will need something to do here.
On a similar note, just to comment somebody made about holding on to resources, and maybe this is a separate topic, so I can hold off if needed on this question, but I'd be curious to bring up the discussion around our last vote on the asphalt or the paving for Palisades, the funding for that, and how we're going to look at those resources
Diego,
moving forward.
That's on the agenda for Tuesday night.
So I have an executed
contract.
I have an executed contract.
My apologies.
No, you didn't know. But yeah. It is on our agenda Tuesday night to look at our resources and that we have for this year and what adjustments we need to make.
Thank you.
That's important. It is coming down the line. Any additional comments for today? If not, probably some people would like to get on a webinar about business resources for our community at 4:00. I do want to say on the record that everyone on City Council is aware of the health and economic influences, and it is rough times, but we're in it together, and we will come out of it together. So, any additional comments?
Mr. Mayor, I just have a question for Erica and Ben, I think. Is there a way to be able to see council and the other people who are on this call? Is that something we can work on after this or soon? Okay. I can see the materials from Ben, but I can't see anybody but me, which is always fun.
Always makes you feel good.
We're actually trying to order some more webcams and toilet paper. Appear to be some of the hottest items in the country. So we're trying to get some more webcams, and we're trying to see if we could do anything more in this space. I think we've concluded we cannot use the cameras in here.
I'll be on my video chat on Tuesday.
So if you are, I think we're seeing, if you can get a camera, if you do join us remotely,
that camera is really important. I think will be increasingly important to see a face. May sound silly, but I think seeing that physical face will be more and more important. So we're meeting as departments virtually, but we're asking people to see if you can get a camera and put a face on it.
So neck up, so I can still wear my pajamas, right?
Yeah. So Kathy, we'll definitely have a camera in the room. Will it cover everybody in the room? Probably not. But that's a piece we're trying to figure out.
So is there any way?
Okay, because I mean, I would think since Ben and I, and there was also Kevin on this, I couldn't see any of them. I could only see me. But as far as, you know, conducting the public hearing and stuff, I think we have to be able to see who's speaking, if possible. And it would be nice to see. I just don't know what the system could do. So I can follow up with Erica after this.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I can see the materials, but that's all I can see.
And there will always be difficulty on some of those that I've seen. The pictures end up looking like a postage stamp that you got at 20 feet away. There's a light behind them, and you get to see the shadow. So, yes, it is. Doing it electronically is challenging, and we will do our best to have everybody as clear as possible, but we're also going to have to rely a lot on audio as well. So.
Well, and the goal, as I understand it, is that you guys not be sitting in that room during this process so that we're following the orders as much as possible. But the Mount Crested Butte used GoToMeeting this morning, and that allowed both the materials screen and the people screens to be up. So it was a little more live feeling.
Huh. Okay.
Let's continue this discussion offline at this point.
Okay. Yep.
Hearing no further business, we stand adjourned.